are now listening to the CRC Discover Life podcast, brought to you by Pastor Adboso. We trust that this message will change your life forever.
And then, of course, our television audience right here from Tshwane, Pretoria. We want to welcome you across Africa, across South Africa, across Europe, and across the United States of America. Come on, let's welcome all our television audience in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 3, and I want to conclude the message on telling your story with a focus on Jesus today. We are living in an urgent hour. I don't mean to be overly dramatic, but it's like people want to write God out of history. First time ever, spirit of the Antichrist, spirit of atheism, whatever spirit is out there in the world, which we know is the spirit of the Antichrist, wants to take God out of society. In our own country, we are facing the challenge where I'm not a naysayer or a pessimist, but for the first time, people are talking more about other people than God. This series I've done is not just a little message to get you to talk to people about Jesus, but it really is, I believe, the only way we are going to push back the tide of darkness in our nation. Because I want to tell you, I thank God every day for our president. I thank God for our politicians. And the Bible instructs us very clearly that we are to pray for those in leadership. But when God came to bring healing to this earth, He never sent a politician or a professor. He sent a Savior whose name is Jesus. Come on, and our world still needs a whole lot of saving in Jesus' name. Take me down, brother sound man. Luke chapter 3, verse 16, the Bible says, but John intervened. I'm baptizing you here in the river. The main character in this drama. Somebody say the main character. Oh, come on, everybody. The main character. Maybe your life has been a real drama up to now, and we want to change your drama into His great story for your life in the name of Jesus. It says, the main character in the drama, to whom I'm a mere stagehand, will ignite the kingdom life, a fire, the Holy Spirit within you, changing you from the inside out. He's going to clean house, make a clean sweep of your life. He'll place everything in true and proper place before God, everything false. He'll put out with the trash to be burned. I believe more than ever, God wants control of His church. I believe God wants control of His church. Somebody say amen. Because if God had control of His church, we would not sit with the challenges we have in this nation and in our world. People were sharing their story with me, and one of my black pastors said, I grew up, and excuse me for talking black-white, but it's on the lips of every politician, so I just want to bring us back to the middle ground, which is the gospel. So he said to me, Pastor, I grew up believing white people can't go to heaven. And some people laughed, and then I said, well, I understand why. I'm not somebody that goes back to the past all the time, because the Bible says forgetting those things that are behind. But we have to understand the hour we live in so that our message can be relevant to heal the generation that we find ourselves in right now, okay? Because how is it possible that white people with the Bible could formulate apartheid and sit in church every Sunday, beat up on black people, treat people, black people inferior, put signs on which many young people never grew up. Stay with me, please, if you're white. There's actually no white people. If you have a lighter complexion, just stay with me. Don't fall off your seat now, okay? We're just talking about our past so we can deal with our tomorrow, okay? So it's like people thought white people can't go to heaven because the white church was praying and the white church was preaching the Bible, and yet they excluded black people from the world. So I got it. How could you pray in Jesus' name and then torture somebody? Okay. So, I said God wants control of His church, and I mean that 24 years in a different era of South Africa, people are still segregated on color lines, and yet there are thousands and thousands of churches in every township, in every town, in every neighborhood. People are reading the Bible. People are talking about Jesus. and still our country is divided and our country is a mess. How is it possible? I'll tell you how it's possible. There's only one way. And that is that for the church in South Africa, Jesus Christ is not the main character. He's not the main story. The main story has become the story of our past, the story of our pain, the story of our prejudice, the story of our past pleasure, the story of our disappointment, the story of our disappointment and a disappointment, and not the story of Christ. So I believe more than ever, we need to tell our story to our world, because our story is the difference between chaos and God setting things in order, God's kingdom way. Can I have an amen? Amen. So I want to talk about the main character of your story today. And I want to say that the main character, we have to allow him to be Jesus Christ, not your pain, not your past, not your sinful pleasure. As a matter of fact, when I was the main character of my life was a mess. How many of you can say amen this morning? But when Jesus became the main character, my life became a message. Somebody that loves God this morning, shout amen and give him a praise in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So John the Baptist is very clear about his message. He says, I'm not the main character. I am the mere stagehand for the main character, the forerunner of the story. Now, what does a stagehand do? A stagehand sets the stage for the main character. So we don't want to set the stage for politics. We don't want to set the stage for hurt. We don't want to set the stage for our past. We want to set the stage for the main character. My hurt is not the main story. My past is not the main story. My brokenness is not the main story. The main story is Jesus Christ. Can you please say a big amen in the name of Jesus Christ? Hallelujah. So John's ministry was preaching about the coming one. So when we talk about telling our story, we're talking about setting the stage for the main character. Well, now, the church cannot set the stage for culture. The church cannot set the stage for tradition. The church cannot set the stage for ancestral worship. The church cannot set the stage for a certain political viewpoint. I go to certain funerals and men of the cloth get up and Jesus is not mentioned once. Liberation theology without Christ. My question is, who liberated Israel from Egypt? Was it Moses or was it God? Well, if we exclude God out of our liberation story, we are getting into exclusion. We're getting into theology without a God, and we become our own God. Our politics become our God. Our past become our God. Our need becomes our God. Our want becomes our God. And I'm on a mission to ask people, tell me your story. If I could get our first president, Mr. Nelson Mandela, back, which I knew had an encounter with God, and he was a born-again believer, had an encounter with God. If I could get him back and ask him some questions about how did hatred leave your heart? Because it's impossible for a human being to eradicate hatred. It's impossible. You cannot. The power of your own will cannot do it. It's impossible to love all people, because inherently in your human nature, you have a sinful nature. So I honor where honor is due. I celebrate the heroes of South Africa and the heroes of our faith, but I'm not going to worship them. I'm not going to forget why they are heroes. I'm not going to forget that they are the ones that God used to rewrite the history of South Africa. But the hand who rewrote the history of South Africa is the hand of God himself. Shout amen in this place today in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. More than ever, we need to tell our story wherever God has taken you. In the corridors of government, we don't have to stand and preach. We just have to tell our story. Then I too was blind, now I see. I was lost, now I'm found. I was broken, but he fixed me. Come on. I went astray, but he brought me back to God. I was messed up, but he turned my mess into a message. And the one who did it, his name is Jesus Christ. Shout a big amen in this place if you agree with me today. It is your story that sets the stage for Jesus to work in your world. The woman of Samaria came back and she ran back to the village. And John chapter 4, the Bible says, the woman then left her water pot, went away into the city and said to the men, come see a man who told me all things I ever did. Could this be the Christ? And they went out of the city and came to him. And many of the Samaritans, verse 39 says, of that city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified, he told me all things I ever did. And they begged him that he may stay with him, and he stayed with him 2 days, and many more believed because of his own words. So, I mean, think about this. This woman, we know we spoke about her last week. She had five husbands. The one she was living with now was not a husband. And when she meets the gift of God, I mean, she even was a religious woman. Think about it. When Jesus speaks to her, she quotes the prophets. Oh, man, everybody can be religious when they choose to be. Everybody. I meet people everywhere and they tell me, no, I also know God. I follow God. But when they tell their story, they tell a different story. God does not even feature, and I get concerned. We need, listen very carefully, listen. Listen, liberation theology, Martin Luther King, was rooted in the gospel. Martin Luther King never took God out of the equation. So how will I liberate you without God permanently? Because the greatest liberation you need is liberation from sin. The only one who can forgive your sin and change your heart and take out the stony heart and give you a heart of flesh is God. No legislation can do that. No man can do that. No reformation will last without a preceding revival. So if we don't change people's hearts, the legislation will not work. Because if the man's heart is not changed, he will end corrupt. Are you listening to me this morning? Our lives are more important than just living for ourselves and being caught in a vacuum of time or being caught in a moment in history and being oblivious of to what the purpose of our lives are and embarking on a cause that will cause greater damage long term after people die. There's a lot of people that are very passionate about many things, very zealous about many things, and the church is silent. I sat in an intense debate recently with other pastors who are so divided towards white people, and it was for me, but I mean the basis of Christianity is love God and love your neighbor as yourself. But now white people are like the enemy. White people are the enemy. Can you qualify that? White people are the enemy. White people are the devil. White people are evil. Can you then put a color to sin? Can you put a color to crime? Can you put a color to evil? Now you're getting very quiet, yeah? Because you're not ready for me. You want little gentle Jesus mollycoddle. Look upon this little child Christianity, and that's why our country is in a mess, because everybody's just felt good about feeling good about themselves, and they've not made Jesus Christ the main character. Jesus said, I've come to confront things. Jesus said, I've come to disrupt things. Jesus said, I've come to set things in order. Jesus says, I've come to fix the things that were broken, and the first thing that was broke was the heart of human beings. The hearts of humanity has to be fixed. Say amen. Oh, I know some of you are getting mad. I've had this for the last 30-something years preaching. People get mad. Jesus says, I never came to smooth things over. I just want everybody to feel like me. Now I'm saying it again. Let me backtrack. I said if God had control of his church, we would not be where we are today in South Africa. Think about it. So who's been the main character in the church? Our culture, our religion, our ego, our pride, our race, our prejudice, our language, everything but Jesus. And we wonder why we sit where we are. So until God does not get control of Zion, what hope will there be? Because if God's voice is silent, then there's another voice that will speak. And there are many voices in our country. So I believe that God wants to raise the church up for the church to become a voice of healing and unity and deliverance in South Africa. If you believe it, shout a big amen in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Are you still with me this morning? You're still happy? You're still glad you came to church? You say, well, Pastor, I'm not so sure anymore. I came to visit my son from Limpopo, and I told my son, you're in a wrong church. Don't listen to that white man. He's bad news. Well, you're going to have to grin it and bear it a little bit longer. Because show me a color in your Bible. Find it. Show me your people. I'll show you God's people. I said, I'll show you God's people. Every tongue, every tribe, every nation. Oh, come on. I'll show you God's people. I'll show you God's kingdom. I'll show you the love of Jesus Christ. So when Jesus enters your life, he doesn't become part of your story. He doesn't become half your story. He doesn't become an added addition. He's not your story when it suits you, but when the boy phones you at night and he says, what's up, honey? Are you lonesome tonight? Let's go party. Let's go party. And you say, okay, well, I'll go to church on Sunday and repent. And then on Friday, you just go, you forget. Suddenly, he's not part of your story. You go into the political meeting. Suddenly, he's not part of your story. You have a bribe with your family. Suddenly, he's not part of your story. Suddenly, you're white like everybody's white, and you begin to tell those same white racist jokes that will not bring healing to everybody in South Africa, because he's not the real main character of your story. And if Jesus does not become the main character of your story, we're going to have a problem in South Africa. Are you listening to me this morning, CRC? He's not the little added addition. I grew up in church, went to Sunday school, read my Bible, but I was taught black people are the enemy. How's it possible? How is it possible? How is it possible? How? How's it possible to say, I'm a born again child of God and you don't like white people? It's like Paul talking to the church. He says, I have to go back to the elementary things. This preacher wants to move on, but I see our country is where we were 25 years ago. So I have to go back to where people choose to be 25 years later in South Africa, still at the ABC sub A of Christianity. We think we can tell his story and exclude other people from our story. Okay, is there anybody still here? Anybody uncomfortable? No? Well, then I better turn up the heat very quickly. A few people left, but that's okay. Maybe they need the toilet, or they came looking for a boyfriend or something, or they came, I don't know why they came, because you come to church for truth, amen? Don't come to church to pacify your little nature or your little culture. I'll say it again, that's what got us in this mess. Now we want to play that game in a new South Africa. Because people were not honest from the pulpits. And any white preacher who said racism was sin was called a communist. Now we're there again. More divided. and we're 78% Christian. How's it even possible? How? How's it possible to be a Christian nation and to have what's happening in our country? How? If the basis of Christianity is love, how's it possible to have masses of poor people in our country? How's it possible? If people in government go to churches and they declare God is God, and then they take the money that's meant to the poor, how's it possible? Where is God? Where is Jesus? Where is he? What part of South Africa does he form? I say it publicly because this will be on television. Where does God fit into South Africa? Can somebody tell me? The movement to liberate South Africa was birthed in an Anglican church in Bloemfontein in prayer. Now God does not feature. Now people serve politics as their God. Oh, get mad with me, but somebody has to have the backbone to say it. The very people that were praying on their knees 20 years ago, 30 years ago, don't have even time to say, God, open my eyes, and God, put his hand upon me, and God, raise me up for this hour. It's like, let's take God out of the equation. Well, then listen to me clearly. You are heading for doom. Because the same way God said to Nebuchadnezzar, God said, I will raise up one and I will remove another. If you will not acknowledge me, and if you will not serve me, and if you will not honor me in the day of your power, I will remove you. I will move swiftly against you, and I will raise up somebody that will acknowledge my name and somebody that will glorify me. For this nation is an instrument in my hand, and this nation will be a blessing to the nations of the world. For the glory of a name that is above every other name, the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Because every other name will fade away. Every other name will not be remembered. But the name of Jesus Christ will be remembered throughout the ages. His name will grow brighter. His name will grow stronger. His name is exalted above every other name. There is no other name whereby we can be saved but the name of Jesus. Somebody give Jesus praise in this place today. Hallelujah. When you get to heaven, your tag will fall off. There will be no CRC in heaven. I'm not saying you should not be in a church. I said there will be no tag when you get to heaven. You will not stand before God and he will say, well, where's your ANC kopdoek? Where's your DA flag? Where's your whatever other party there is? Where's your red jacket? Oh, that's a CRC jacket. That's fine. When we die, we look the same. When we die, the same worms eat us. When we no longer bow our knee to God in this nation, we're heading for trouble. You better hear me. When God takes you to the highest place, you need to tell your story. Just like the Apostle Paul, who never forgot that Jesus was the main character, that it was about him. Wherever God took him, he was the bearer. He was the carrier of a name. To kings, to presidents, to an angry mob. Wherever you go, the gospel of Jesus Christ is still the only answer. The only remedy. Somebody shout amen in Jesus' name. Acts chapter 9. Paul throughout his ministry realized he's a mere stage hand. That he's there to set the stage for Jesus. You know, if we believe there is no God, the Bible says the fool says in his heart there is no God. And then if God is alive, where is he? What part did he play in South Africa? And again, I say that we cannot lay blame to God, because if God had control of His church, we would be in a different place. But now we claim that God has control of our lives, and we still think like we did. How is it possible? How authentic is our story? The Bible is very clear that God raises people and God removes people. That ultimately we will all stand before God and will give account. Acts chapter 9, the Bible says, With Saul still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, he went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if any were found who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground, heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" Have we forgotten who Jesus is? Have we forgotten when we were hopeless, He came and saved us? Have we forgotten when we were blind, He found us? How is it so easy to write Him out of our story? I mean, people have funerals and they say there's not time to pray. Okay, well, so the person who died, what now? Where is he? Did he have a relationship with God? Bible says, even if I give all my goods to feed the poor and I have not love, it profits me nothing. So I can be the greatest reformer. Without God, I lose everything. Everything. Because the day will come when you will breathe out your last breath. And then it doesn't matter what we sing about you on this earth. It matters what heaven says about you. And before you go to heaven, we better make sure that you've heard somebody's story that will turn you to the great God and to Jesus Christ. Shout amen and give Him a praise. Come on. So Paul the apostle, a persecutor of the church, before he becomes apostle, says, "Who are you, Lord?" Then he said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goad." So he, trembling and astonished, said, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" I mean, when you've encountered God, you live in awe of God all your life. You realize you're not a self-made person. That's why I want to ask people, who made you? Did you make yourself? Did you birth yourself? Is it so easy to write God out of your life? No matter how painful your journey, like Joseph, God was there. God sustained you. God kept you because of God's greater purpose. So that when He brings you to the palace, you will remember and you will tell your story of God's goodness. But when our nation no longer has time for God, where do you think it will end? Because the only thing that can take hate out of a human heart is love. And you will not find love anywhere else but in the presence of God. It is only God who can change a human heart. Only God can take out a heart of stone and put a heart of flesh in that person. Come on. Only God can turn a murderer into a preacher. Only God can turn a persecutor into an apostle. Only God can do that. Nobody else can do it. What God wants is justice in the earth. And He will bring justice through those who remember Him. Second thing Paul says, "What is it that you want me to do?" He discovers his purpose. He stands with fear and trembling. It's like people are so casual with God today. It's like, "How's it, God? Man upstairs, like..." "How's it, God? How's it?" It's like, "Man, you're eating too much pizza. Or I don't know what you're smoking. Or I don't know what planet you are from. Because if God had to move his little pinky, he would disappear in a second. I'm not saying you should fear God, but you should understand who God is. You were created by God, formed by God. You were created to worship God. You were created to love God. And Paul's first encounter, he discovers this amazing God. He says, "Who are you, Jesus?" And Jesus reveals himself to Paul. Then he says, "What is it that you want me to do?" He stands with fear and trembling. Well, when you encounter God, your life changes. The first thing that happens is you fall in love with this God. He becomes the pearl of great price. He becomes your chief cornerstone. He becomes the foundation of your life. He becomes the lily of the valley. He becomes the rose of Sharon. Come on. He becomes the one that you were searching for all the days of your life. He becomes your everything. And then in that moment, you discover what God's plan is for your life. You don't just forget because it's unpopular to talk about God. There's no other way to change this world. The gospel is the power. Your story is the power. There is no other way. We will curb violence in this nation. We need Christians in every community to stand up and preach a gospel of Jesus Christ, a gospel of love, a gospel of forgiveness. Oh, come on, can I have an amen today? But we can't in a moment of insanity do things we did before we were born again. Before I was saved, I was riotous. Before I was saved, I beat people up. Before I was saved, I burned things. Now that I'm saved, I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't be caught up in the moment. Then whose story are you following? Who's the main character? When Paul faced the Jerusalem mob, people that wanted to kill him, he said, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, before you stone me, I want to tell you something." He begins to speak perfect Hebrew, and they're amazed that he speaks Hebrew. He says, "I also am a Jew. I am just like you. I sat under Gamaliel." He says, "Concerning the law, I was just like all of you. As a matter of fact, I went a little bit higher than you. I'm the one who got letters from the high priest. I'm the one who led the charge against Christians. I'm the one who killed people." But then on the way to Damascus, there was a light that shone from heaven, and this light changed me. I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, "Paul, why are you persecuting me?" And I realized that I was blind. I realized that I had a cause, but it was a wrong cause. And then I met the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he changed my life, and he gave me a message. He gave me a mission. He gave me an assignment to take the love of God to the nations of the world, and he preached the gospel. When he stood in the palace before King Agrippa, he said, "King Agrippa, let me tell you my story. I was on the road to Damascus, and suddenly a light shone from heaven, like brighter than the sun, and I heard a voice from heaven, and this is what happened to me." And Festus, one of the rulers sitting there, says, "Paul, much teaching have made you mad." He says, "I'm not mad. I have found the truth. I was zealous like you. I was lost like you. Everybody knows who I was before I got saved. And now everybody knows who I am after I got saved." He says, "It didn't happen in a little corner somewhere. Neither did I keep it for myself." And King Agrippa says, "Paul, you almost persuade me to believe." He says, "Oh, I wish that you would believe and everybody else would believe and become like me, except these chains." Finally, he has to go to Rome to tell his story. To Julius Caesar. God saves him on a ship to get the story of his conversion to Caesar, who, by the way, was behind the persecution of Christianity. So Paul served Caesar. Then Paul saw the light, and God took Paul to go back to the very hand that was persecuting and murdering Christians, to stand before him as a Roman citizen. Very smart man, Paul. Very intellectual person. As a Roman citizen, he certain rights, and he preaches the gospel to Caesar. Eventually, he lives in his own house and persuades many, telling his story. Your story carries weight. Your story carries power. Our nation needs to hear your story. People need to hear you. Listen to me today. Our world needs to hear our story. We cannot keep this to ourselves. You switch on the television, you hear somebody's story, and it's always a story of bitterness, anger, division, strife, hatred. And I don't know what pastors preach. I bless every minister. But rather than preaching a gospel that will reconcile people, they prophesy lies to get money out of people's pockets. Nobody cares what your name is. I mean, to spend a whole service to tell you what your name is, please. 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 Excuse me. Somebody told me years back, it's nothing new. It happened 30 years ago with same nonsense. Same thing back in South Africa. Somebody said, there's a man that can tell you your name. I said, I know my name. You won't find any encounter with God in the New Testament outside of purpose. It wasn't little charismatic games. It was all about purpose. Ananias, there's a man in, his name is Paul. Lay hands on him, let them receive his sight, baptize him, and I will show him what great things he will suffer for the gospel's sake. That was the purpose of the prophetic. To launch people into the purpose of Christ, which is to seek and save lost people. Not to boost people's ego and make people feel good about themselves. It's to get people's attention so people could fulfill the assignment of the main character. Can I say it again? If you came to church and you don't know your name, please, will you come after the service and I'll give you a name. Gaines, in the midst of a crisis moment, when people are going to hell all around us, we play games. Christians play games. The church plays games. Soothsayers in our midst. And we think God birthed His church to give us a little experience every Sunday. He birthed His church to give us an encounter with Christ, which should launch us like Paul throughout our destiny. Where he stands before King Agrippa and says, I've not been disobedient to their heavenly vision. I've told everybody I know about this Jesus. How about you? I've told everybody. I climb in a lift, I tell people. I go to gym, I tell people. I go to work and I tell people. You are God's messenger. You are God's ambassador.
If this powerful message has touched your life and you'd like to give your life to Jesus, pray the following prayer with Pastor Art.
Say, Lord Jesus, I give myself back to you. Thank you for a new beginning. I believe with all my heart that you are the Christ. I believe that you died for my sin. I believe you rose from the grave. Today, I accept you as my Lord and Savior. Please forgive my sin. Wash me in your blood. Give me the power through your grace to be a true child of God. I'm home. I give everything to you. Thank you for cleansing me, for healing me, and for giving me a fresh start with you. In Jesus' name I thank you, Father. Amen and amen and amen.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. For more information on CRC, visit www.crc.org.za.